tell me a little bit about how the Puerto Rican and Latino Studies Department came about.
I like to use the phrase bottom up as opposed to top down, because the department really began as an institute, and it was, in a way, it was demanded by students at Brooklyn College. I was one of them, among quite a group of essentially Black and Latino students. At that time, we didn't say Black and Latino. We used to use Black and Puerto Rican. And we were a small cohort compared to the rest of the college, because Brooklyn College had a population in the late 60s of over 30,000 students. And we were only a bunch that was there, because this was before open admissions, which allowed more Black and brown students to enter the City University of New York. We were people who got in because we had the grades, which were very demanding. But because the grades were demanding to get into Brooklyn College, let's say, or City or Hunter, we had to apply and make sure that we would be able to get in, given our grades and given our SATs. Because most of the students at the City University, which was absolutely free at the time, you know, there was no tuition whatsoever, but most of the population of CUNY at that time was white. So Brooklyn College was essentially a lily white school when we got in, myself and my wife, Milga. And we began to see this discrepancy. And early on, we began to join together with a small group of Black students and some very progressive white students that were demanding more diversity in terms of the student body. Not only more diversity in terms of the student body, but also courses that would reflect the culture, the background of those students. So that was one of the early demands. So I could just tell you very quickly that it was an effort, Puerto Rican students joining together with Black students and some white students who were part of what was then called the Students for Democratic Society, which was essentially a white group, but very progressive. And that kind of lit the fire for us to demand from the administration that we have at least an institute that would reflect in courses and in presence of community our reality. So we began with an institute back in 1968.
What was that like to create this department, to create something that has such a legacy, or that reflected, I guess, the changing demographics of New York City at the time?
You know, the way I would put it is it was both frustrating and exhilarating, because we were kind of taking on an institution that had values which was centered mostly on traditional academia. You know, the whole idea of ethnic studies, or the whole idea of having Black and Puerto Rican studies, or later on Asian studies, women's studies, that was completely alien to the administration and to the faculty. So our job was basically it was an uphill battle to meet and convince these folks that we were part of Brooklyn College. We were taxpayers. So even though CUNY was absolutely free, it counted on the money from taxpayers. And we were minority people, but we were also taxpayers. So we should have a place in the university. And that was a basic demand. Why is it that the university is not diverse as it should be and allow students of color, as we call them today, to be part of CUNY? The movement was strong enough in that we were able to get together and organize. And I think it's important to note that it wasn't an individual student or, you know, someone who was able to take on the administration alone, that we did it as groups. We realized the enormous pressure that could be put upon the administration by being organized as groups. So the Black, Latino, and progressive white students got together, and we kept going by having demonstrations, by constantly pressuring administration to listen to our demands. And by the way, it wasn't just Brooklyn College at the time. The late 60s would see a great deal of activity in CUNY and elsewhere, where students began to question the administration on the issue of a curriculum, on the issue of presence, on the issue of democratic rights. as I said before, it was exhilarating to be part of that movement because many of us didn't even know how a university works, how you prepare courses, how you talk to the administration, because we were basically tyros. You know, we were young kids who were learning as we went along. You know, there's an old saying by a famous Chilean folk singer, Victor Jara, who died in the 1973 coup in Chile. And he said that when you start a movement like that, and he used the expression in Spanish, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is se hace camino al andar. You make the road as you walk. And that's what we did. And 50 years hence, we have this wonderful department that I was a part of for about 45 years of its existence. And it's a great story. But it was fraught with all kinds of obstacles because we demonstrated. There were groups called the BC-19, the BC-44. There were arrests that were made, which, by the way, as a faculty member of Brooklyn College, those arrests and those letters of insubordination are in our files. So it wasn't an easy voyage, Tanya.
What was the reaction of the administration? Was there pushback? What were the demonstrations like?
The demonstrations took place on campus, and they grew from our core group, I would say, of Black and Puerto Rican students. It began to grow with the rest of the campus, particularly after open admissions, where we had a greater number of Black and Brown students in the campus. They joined us because the creation of the Institute in 1968 was important, because we were able to offer courses in the college through the traditional departments. We were able to offer courses, but we had to recruit the faculty. We had to go out and recruit students to take those courses because eventually what we wanted was to have a department. An institute doesn't have the power of a department because an institute works through traditional departments, but a department itself per se can hire people, can promote people, and has a say in the faculty council of a college. We realized that what we wanted ultimately was to create a department, which came 2 years later, from 1968 to 1970, the Department of Puerto Rican Studies, now called the Department of Puerto Rican and Latino Studies, as you know, because you're an alum, it began to grow exponentially as the population of the college began to change demographically.
Why do you think this is so important? Because I remember when I was there, being a student enrolled in the program, it was so important to me. I took one class and I took it as an elective. And I was like, okay, I'll take this one class, whatever. But then I just became so impassioned by it.
It's great to hear.
I don't know. And my parents were like, wow, Tanya, you're really passionate about being Puerto Rican, about Latinos, about the fight for Latinos and things of that nature. And it's a direct result of my studies at the department. So when this department was created by you, by your wife, Milga Morales, and by so many others, what exactly did you have in mind when this came about? And how did you come up with a curriculum? Who decided what the curriculum would be?
Yeah, that's a damn good question, because as a department, well, not as an institute, actually beginning as an institute, what we did is we began to recruit. This was done internally. We did it as students. We went out and we sought people that might be able to come to Brooklyn College and teach. You know, that was a time when there was a great deal of repression in the anti-independence movement in Puerto Rico. So there were scholars from the island that had come to New York and who weren't working, you know, that we could recruit. And these people were social scientists. You know, one of the interesting things from the very beginning is that we were interdisciplinary. We had an Institute of Puerto Rican Studies, later a Department of Puerto Rican Studies, that was interdisciplinary. In other words, we were teaching about Puerto Rico and we were teaching about the Caribbean, and we were teaching about Latin America, was all that is related, and we were teaching about the diaspora, Puerto Ricans in the United States. So we needed people who had that kind of knowledge. We didn't have the great numbers that we have now of Latino scholars. That has grown tremendously. A lot of it has to do with our creation. But at that time, we counted a lot of people from Puerto Rico, and the few who were active who are activists in our community. You know, people like Luis Reyes, Cesar Perales, Josephine Nieves. These were Puerto Ricans who had achieved master's degrees, in some cases, maybe some of them had doctorates. And we recruited from, we didn't have to convince them a great deal because they were thrilled to be part of something new, something being led by students that was challenging the administration to change its ways. So with those folks and the fact that the student activists eventually graduated and we all became part of the family, we began to study, very, very strongly study how a university works. How is it that you propose a course? How you write an outline, a bibliography, a blurb, the process to getting a course passed through the faculty council, which is the entire faculty of the college. It's the body that represents the college. And then making that viable, convincing those folks that these were academic courses that were worthy of being a part of the curriculum of Brooklyn College. So we had to prove ourselves with people who had more experience than we did, and with us ourselves becoming educated about the process of what how a university works. I remember taking courses in, because I was a language major. I started out as a high school teacher, teaching French and Spanish and ESL at Eastern District High School, which is also my alma mater. So I began to take courses in counseling. I began to take courses in administration. So I could then understand how it is that a department grows and what it has to do in order to become legitimate. And I use that word advisedly, to become legitimate. So it was a learning process, and it was haciendo camino al andar, as Víctor Jara once said.
If you could describe the department in one word, what would that be?
Dynamic, transformative. The whole idea was for us to understand that we were involved in, you might call it a mission, and at the same time, we wanted to offer our students the kind of history, the kind of background that they would not get in traditional academia, right? So by studying, for example, as I'm sure you did, the history of Puerto Rico, and not just Puerto Rico, but the history of the Caribbean itself and the role that the U.S. played, for example, throughout the end of the 19th century with the Spanish-American-Cuban-Filipino War, most of which is never touched in the curricula in high schools or colleges. So that it was a way of letting our students know that they could be proud of a history, that they could be proud of the fact that we were people that were always in struggle, whether we were in Puerto Rico or here, and that it applied to so many other people, to Dominicanos and Cubanos, and even the history of Latin America, which was largely lacking in many universities. Nobody had taken a course in a huge area of the world, which is South America, the Caribbean, Mexico, Central America. That was hardly unknown, you know, in the university. So we began to fill those gaps with scholars that we recruited because, and this is important, Tanya, we were interdisciplinary. The faculty that we recruited for Puerto Rican studies were not by per se Puerto Rican studies experts. They were experts in an area that could touch upon Puerto Rico. For example, our department hired economists, and we hired social scientists, sociologists, economists. We hired people in education who knew something about the structure of the school system. You know, our major program in that department is the bilingual teacher education program, where we train, that's what I did for most of my years there, was to train young people to become bilingual teachers in the school system. And that demanded knowing about language, the evolution of teaching language, the prejudice that existed, the segregation of our schools, which is now greater than ever. I don't know if you know this, but New York is the most segregated school system in the nation. And it's in the North. It's not a Southern state, it's a Northern state. And yet we still have this enormous division by race and by class in the school system. So we have to teach that. And we have to prepare our young people who go into education to know that reality. And they themselves begin to transform the system because they are our product. As you are, by the way.
I can go on forever talking to you about this department and the amazing things that has come out of the apartment, the amazing people that have come out of this department. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to end the interview here. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for...
And you're doing the work that you're doing, because I have a daughter that's in your field. And you guys make a huge difference because you're getting the word out. You're young, you're dynamic. And I would like to say we had a little bit to do with the forging of your generation.
If it wasn't for the Pearls Department, I can honestly say I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. When I decided to go into broadcasting and then I started studying Puerto Rican and Latino studies, I kept thinking, this is what I want to do. I want to be a voice for Latinos everywhere. I don't want to just do regular news.
Right.
So this was something...
Like, as we had a mission going back to 1967 and 68, even though we were young and we knew very little, we realized that we were involved in what Shakespeare would call a labor of love.
Really quickly, is there anything else that you would like to add before this interview is over?
You know the old saying, the struggle continues, la lucha continúa. We are presently involved in writing a book, which Milia and I are participating by writing a chapter on bilingual education. It's a book about Puerto Rican Latino studies at the university in the last 50 years. The authors are famous historian Virginia Sanchez Carol and the former chairperson of our department, Maria Perez y Gonzalez. That book should be out by the end of the year, and a documentary that should be out by the end of November, a documentary on the history of the department, which is almost finished now.
Professor, thank you so much for taking the time. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.